Like to turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 14, leading up to the Ten Commandments. See that God's laws proclaim some truths, foundational truths about God, speak of His absolute authority. It's His dominance, His rule. It tells us that God does have standards. So in a day of moral relativism, which says there is no absolute truth, there is no authority, there is no standard, there is no one against whom we are measured, a day of personal freedom when people think that there are no guidelines except the ones that you set for yourself. The laws of God, of course, say different. The laws of God remind us that God is authority, that God does have a standard. Every law of God, whether it be moral, ceremonial, or civil, every law of God declares this truth about God. We've seen also that the laws of God declare some truths about man. Declare it's a reminder of our depravity. Again, the very fact that we have to be told, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," "Thou shalt not steal." The very fact that we have to be told that shows there's a possibility we will, and that we likely will, unless God provides protection. You tell a child not to do something because you know in your mind that child is probably going to do that, or there's certainly a possibility that they will. So the very fact that God tells us not to do something is a reminder of our depraved inclinations. The very fact that we have to be told to do that which is good is a reminder of our depravity, that we have to be reminded to do good. It shows that our inclination is to do wrong, and our inclination is to forget or not to pay attention to do right. So the laws of God declare some, and again, these are foundational. Declare foundational truths about God. Declare foundational truths about man. But the laws of God, as they're given to Israel in the Old Testament, and as they're given to you and I today, the laws given to Israel were a proclamation that they were a peculiar people. Now, the ceremonial law and the civil law, and we'll see the difference between those, but the ceremonial and the civil were given to Israel. And it was a reminder that Israel was a peculiar people. Which brings us to Deuteronomy chapter 14, in verse 1. It says, "Ye are the children of the Lord your God." They were a peculiar people. That's not said of everyone. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. It speaks of the fact that they've been blessed by God. Also, the Lord your God speaks of a covenant relationship between God and Israel. And there is a covenant relationship between God and His people. So we have the statement, "Ye are the children of the Lord your God." And then it's followed by a law, a command, a piece of instruction. "Ye shall not." Now the basis of the "ye shall not" is "ye are the children of the Lord your God." It's not, ye shall not, because if you do this, it'll cause you harm. Though that is true, that's not the basis. The basis is, ye are the children of the Lord your God. So the basis is our relationship with God. The blessings that God has bestowed upon us. And then that is followed by, ye shall not. Cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. But then notice in verse 2, for thou, okay, the four goes back to the ye shall not. So we have a reason stated before the ye shall not, because ye are the children of the Lord your God. And we have a reason following the ye shall not, which also serves as an introduction to the other laws that are going to be mentioned here in Deuteronomy 14. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. Thou art a holy people. That means thou art a sanctified, thou art a separated people unto the Lord. You of, speaking to Israel, you of all the nations on the earth have been separated unto God. Now that applies to you and I that are saved as well. We were chosen before the foundation of the world. We were separated unto the Lord. That makes us a peculiar people. And that serves as a reason to pay attention to the laws of God. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. And then notice what it says, and the Lord hath chosen thee. The Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar, beyond usual. God did not choose you to go along with the norm. He chose you to be a peculiar people. He separated you from that which is the norm. And He has called you to be a peculiar people. This was true of the nation of Israel. This is true of all of us that know the Lord. A peculiar people unto Himself, above all the nations that are upon the earth. So we have the foundation. Ye are the children of the Lord. Ye are a holy people, a separated people, a chosen people, a peculiar people. Following verse 2, you have a series of laws. There's one law stated in verse 1. But following verse 2, there are a series of laws indicated by thou shall not, ye shall not, ye may not, and also that's from the negative standpoint, but also indicated from the positive standpoint, thou shalt, ye shall, ye may. And it's just law after law. And this continues throughout the book of Deuteronomy, which again means second law. It's a repeat. It's a refresher course in the law of God. Obedience to these laws set Israel apart, caused them to have a testimony that God had done something in their lives. Now, notice these verses. Verse 3, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And he goes on and says, eat any abominable thing. Verse 7, that's coconut, by the way. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. Verse 7. Nevertheless, these ye shall not. And again, this just goes on and on and on. Thou shalt not. Verse 8, ye shall not. Verse 9, ye shall. Again, he approaches from both the negative and the positive. When he states it from the negative, the positive is implied. And when he states it from the positive, the negative is implied. That's why God does this, because of the way our minds work. If you just continually say, "Ye shall not," people say, "Well, you're always being negative." Well, the positive is applied in the negative. But if you're always positive, then that's not good either. But the negative is implied in the positive. And this is always the case with the laws of God. Verse 11, "Ye shall." Verse 12, "Ye shall not." In verse 19, "They shall not be eaten." In verse 20, "Ye may eat, ye shall not." So, again, you can follow this all the way through, and you see this over and over and over again. And it is a reminder. It is a reminder of God's authority. It is a reminder of God's rule. It is a reminder that you, it is a reminder of who we are as well. And it is also a reminder of God's love. God set boundaries. And many of these laws, you may say, "Well, why? Why can't I eat that? What's wrong with that?" There may not be anything wrong with it. But God told you not to. And it's to mark that you are a peculiar people. You see, people get off track today when they say, "Well, you tell me what's wrong with that." That's looking at it wrong. If God says that, and I just looked at Wendy, if God says you can't wear purple, what's wrong with purple? Nothing. But if God says you can't, or you shall not, you're not to. Well, what if someone else said, maybe God didn't tell them? Just like here with Israel. These were laws for Israel. These dietary laws were laws for Israel. And so we see that there's a reason. The reason is God. That's the reason. You don't need to decide what is it right, is it wrong. You just obey God. And that's how we need to look at it. We see also in the laws of God, we are reminded over and over of the seriousness of God's laws. And we see this in the consequences of breaking the laws of God. You ever wonder why in the Old Testament people were stoned for many things? We wouldn't have made it. We wouldn't have made it. But why was this? I believe it's just simply a reminder of the consequences, the seriousness of breaking the laws of God. And this is clearly seen in the punishments that were inflicted for disobedience to His laws. People were stoned to death for blasphemy. For blasphemy. They were stoned to death. What is the lesson there? Do we stone people today for blasphemy? No. So what is the lesson? The lesson is to show the seriousness of blasphemy. And if you were going to be stoned for blasphemy, I would certainly think that you would be, if you knew that you were going to be stoned for blasphemy, you would be very, very careful not to blaspheme. And again, it just shows the seriousness. And we lose sight sometimes of the seriousness of God's laws. And that, of course, produces carelessness. People were stoned to death for Sabbath breaking. Breaking the Sabbath. They were stoned to death. Well, God understands that Sunday's the only day I have and I need to do certain things. Go to people in the Old Testament, tell them that. It shows the seriousness. Do we stone people today for Sabbath breaking? None of us would be here if we did. People were stoned to death for following false religions. People were stoned to death for idolatry. They were stoned to death for adultery and fornication. They were stoned to death for disrespect to parents, talking back to a parent, they were stoned to death. You say, well, that's ridiculous. No, it really isn't. It's just a reminder. So are we to stone people that show disrespect for parents? No, but it's a reminder to you and I of the seriousness. You can't just take the attitude, well, that's the age they're in, and that's just the way it is. No, that's the wrong attitude. It shows the seriousness of the offense, that people were stoned. So all of these things, the consequences, show us the gravity of the laws of God. And when we come to the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God, which applies to all of mankind, there is a gravity about these laws. And when we break those laws, though we're not going to be stoned, when we break those laws, there are serious consequences. I want to say today that there are worse things than being stoned to death. There are easier things than being stoned to death. For you to have to live the rest of your life in ruins, to me, is worse than being stoned to death. Just kill me. But again, it shows the consequences. And there are consequences for breaking the laws of God. Society today is a reminder everywhere we go, the dysfunction, the way that people think is, it's just baffling. And it's a reminder of the consequences. This is where sin has brought these people. This is where sin has brought us. This is where breaking the laws of God has brought us. This is where disregarding the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, and all of these things. And here today we have a morality that is lower than barnyard morality. I mean, people do things that animals won't do. And it shows, again, the serious consequences. I mean, it had been better if they would have been stoned to death. You can't even use that anymore. It would have been better if they're stoned. Someone thinks you're talking about being high in drugs. Well, he says it's okay to be stoned. I mean, that's how twisted we are today. But again, we need to realize, just like with parents' rules, these are boundaries. These are fences that God has put around our lives. And God is saying, if you stay within this fence, your life will be a lot better. Now, obeying the laws of God is not going to save you. But I'll tell you what, obeying the laws of God will make your life easier. It will make your life better. And that's for the lost sinner. If the lost sinner just morally stays within the fence that God has put, their life will be much happier. So, as we've already said, the laws of God do remind us of God's mercy. Reminds us of the grace and the goodness of God, that God would give us laws. And just like you set down rules for your children. And some of those rules protect and save their lives. So it is with God. And we have to stay within those bounds that God has said. And if society, if the United States of America had not crossed the fence, the boundaries that God had set, we'd be a completely different nation today. The people have not only climbed the fences, they've broken them down. And now you don't even see, I mean, you have to look real close to even see where the fence was. So we need to be reminded of these laws of God. Again, they don't save us, but they do save our lives. So we ought to be thankful for these laws. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We do thank you, Lord, that you've set boundaries around each one of us, Lord, that you've put up fences in our lives, and Lord, that you love us enough to tell us what we should do and what we should not do. Lord, we pray that you just help us to realize the seriousness of obeying you. Lord, we thank you that you are so good to us. And we pray, Lord, today as we worship you, Lord, that your name would be exalted. Lord, for those that are here and lost, we pray that you would reach down, that you would save their souls this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.